You're listening to
Wrestling to the Max.
Alert, alert, clear all channels.
This is an exclusive.
How you like that?
Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Leeser.
Oops. Go, Gary.
Hey, welcome everyone to Wrestling to the Max, the Backlash 2017 review. That's right, we are here and ready to talk about it. Excited about this pay-per-view for SmackDown Live. And of course, I am your host, Gary Vaughn. Along with me is Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And Mr. Sean Garmer.
What's up, everybody?
And guys, of course, just to let everybody out there know, W2Mnet.com is where you find us. Also, don't forget to go subscribe to Wrestling to the Max, or if you love all the other great podcasts from W2Mnet.com, the W2M Network. There you go. Well, you know, guys, we've got a show full of interesting things here in this pay-per-view. Of course, this came out of course, you know, being the first, I would have to really say, the first one after the draft, or not draft, the trades. I don't know what they even called that. What do they call that again?
The Superstar Shake-Up.
The Shake-Up. Thank you. I couldn't remember what it was. I knew it had something to do with that. It sounds like a paint can, right? But anyway, that's kind of the way it happened here, and now you finally get the SmackDown Live post that actually just has these straight-up feuds with a lot of these guys. And, you know, it was really a cool one to kind of just get some thoughts of. And so now since we've kind of seen some of what people thought on the internet, now we're going to get a chance to kind of talk about it ourselves and give you our full thoughts on this. So let's start out by talking really quickly about the pre-show. I don't know. Did you guys watch the pre-show at all? I know I checked it out.
I missed it.
I missed Sean. It as well.
Okay. Well, really quickly, I'll just say this. You had Ty Dillinger face off against Aiden English. The one thing that, you know, you get out of this is what you expected. Ty Dillinger winning. But I'm loving this thing where Aiden English, like, cries as he's got Ty Dillinger laying there. I'm like,
don't
oh my
say
God.
That, Gary, because then that's what all he will become.
I know. I don't want him to do that. I'd rather him be the singing frog from the WB rather than the crying wrestler. So, but anyway, and one other thing, I'm loving this jacket that they have for Ty Dillinger, the glow in the dark jacket. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah, he had it at NXT for near the end of his run too. The one with the big, like the big LED.
I love that.
RGB 10 strips going up and down.
I love that. Yes.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I don't know what made it bring it out to me again. I guess it just was amazing in this. So anyway, that's all you need to know. Ty Dillinger got the victory. Good for him, right? Not so great for Aiden English. So there you go. But yeah, we start this thing out, and we'll jump into the beginning of Backlash. We had Dolph Ziggler face off against Shinsuke Nakamura. And this was one that I think was kind of an interesting start to the show. I think it was kind of great after really promoting this really hard all over WB television and, of course, the network. I mean, every time I turned on something on the network, this is the first thing I saw was Backlash 2017 with the, you know, Shinsuke up there and the whole music. I'm like, my goodness, they are pushing this guy like crazy, at least when it comes to promoting him in this match. And of course, the Chicago crowd did not disappoint. They love Nakamura. They love the music. They sang along just like everyone else does, and that's great. Really awesome to see. But the match itself, we had these guys go at it, and I think really honestly, this was a match that you expected from my point of view. I think that they gave you everything that you kind of thought that they would. Dolph Ziggler does his signature stuff. Even Nakamura getting a lot of his on his own. We do have Shinsuke winning, but by, you know, way of, you know, having to fight through it. He wasn't, you know, easily winning this match. You definitely saw Dolph Ziggler get really close a few times and some near falls. But overall, Shinsuke does get the victory here. Sean, what did you think?
This was as much about Dolph as it was about Shinsuke. It wasn't the Shinsuke squash special that I think, you know, it looked like it was going to be at first, and then it just turned out to be a competitive match, which I really enjoyed the match. You know, it just depends on how you feel about this, because Dolph is not, he's not a main player anymore. He's a mid-card guy, and that's kind of where he's going to be, and you know, you can play around with where you want him to be, but it's just, it's hard to kind of get into believing that he's going to do anything at this point. But they've had him go 50-50 with Dolph, and, you know, Shinsuke is supposed to be this main event guy. You're positioning him as, he's on your poster, he's a big deal, you're going to be, you know, limiting the amount of matches that he has, you're going to make him a special attraction. I don't know. I feel like they wanted to be able to give you a lot, you know, a competitive Shinsuke match, and so you kind of got that, and not necessarily, oh, well, Shinsuke went out there, it's 5 minutes, but if you're going to have him be on the, you know, the opener, you know, and maybe it doesn't matter so much, but I'm kind of just, I got mixed emotions about it. I thought it was a really good match, you know, Shinsuke wins, right choice, all that stuff, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was somebody higher than Dolph, I would have been more okay with it.
I'm on the pro end of this. I thought this was really good match. And I only say that 50-50 is okay because this is the way that SmackDown likes to do things. They don't sail the boat on somebody unless they have no plans for them. And Dolph hovers around that mid-card to upper mid-card tier of talent, where he could feasibly challenge, at least for the U.S. title, really, at any time, I would say. And with enough build, as we got to see at the beginning of the brand split, he could be a world title contender, again, if you put the machine behind him. So I think what you got here was fine. Maybe Dolph hasn't looked so great recently, but I think as far as what him and Shinsuke did here was fine. Ziggler got to be competitive. Shinsuke got to survive and thrive near the end as he got to hit all this big stuff. And he looked motivated. He looked like he was here to put on a show. I think they did, as far as the opener goes and what they were going to do. And I thought this was great.
That first power slam and the super kick counter was great. I love that.
His striking combinations were a lot more crisper than what we got to see during most of his NXT run, too. So
motivation is a big factor.
It is true. He's on the big show now. I feel like this is going to be a Shinsuke that we are going to see more often.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it. And I know we're going to have even bigger and, you know, stronger matches from Shinsuke. I'm excited about that. You know, Dolph Ziggler's Dolph Ziggler. And that's kind of why I was saying this was kind of what you expected, because this kind of ended up being the formula in a Dolph Ziggler match overall. But still, I think both guys come out of looking strong. They can continue down their path, doing what they do best, and that's have great matches. So we'll see. I mean, I think Nakamura, you know, of course, you know, will probably move on past Ziggler and do something else, or maybe even get in a stronger feud. But overall, I think they did what they needed to do, and hey, showcase Shinsuke the way that they wanted to. Let's move on here and talk about the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. And that, of course, are held by the Usos. They take on Breezango. And this was a match full of comedy. Honestly, it was just nothing but comedy for the most part. You know, you do have Tyler Breeze coming out doing the whole, you know, janitor thing, you know, mopping up everywhere and, you know, playing the jokes on the, you know, the Usos with the mob, doing the shtick. Three Stooges kind of stuff, to be
grandma,
honest.
Grandma, come on, he was grandma.
Yes, I love that, too. So when you get the grandma, he dresses a grandma, too. And, you know, of course, I love the, you know, doing the drop kick as grandma. That was beautiful. And of course, exposing himself as grandma as well. But, you know, this is really what it was about. It was about comedy. Really, you had, you know, Fandango being more of the serious one out of the two. But overall, these guys actually put a decent match on. I mean, it was not bad. It was just, it was about comedy. Let's be honest. And the Usos do get the victory because, you know, things just would not work out Brizongo's way. But, I mean, I think it was pretty funny, and I think it was entertaining. That was really what they were trying to do anyway, if you ask me. Paul, what did you get out of that?
Oh, excuse me. I thought this was a fun match, right? I mean, you have a lot of the comedy at the front end and well into the middle. And then on the back, maybe quarter to third, these guys really start going at it and hit the fast forward button. And you have a lot of really fun sprint-like stuff going on here. And eventually the Usos end up retaining. And I don't know if this was the way I exactly saw it all playing out, especially with so much comedy on the front end, but I mean, Usos retaining in a fun little match is nothing wrong with me here.
I concur. This was a fun match. I just had fun with the comedy. You know, Brizongo got in a bit more offense than I thought they would. And, you know, it is what it is. I mean, this was just to get a title challenge for the Usos and let's move on.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I think we're going to continue on with the comedy stuff with Brizongo. That'll be fine. They didn't have to have the tag team championship belts to continue that process. So, you know, that's not a problem. But you're right. This is kind of...
I mean, we hope they don't drop it. Let's say that. Yeah. I don't want to... Because it's hard for them to have two feuds of anything going on sometimes.
That's true. You know, we definitely talk about that quite a bit on this show, how the tag divisions on either show are not exactly grand. But, you know, the Usos, I think, will, you know, have this one as just another match and then move on to the next thing. Let's move on, though. Let's talk about Sami Zayn and Baron Corbin. And they had a match that I felt like was a little bit of a different kind of factor here because, I mean, really, to be honest with you, you got Sami Zayn doing his normal shtick, you know, surviving. That's what he was doing here, surviving against Baron Corbin. And Corbin really was laying in it on him. Let's be honest. We kind of felt like Baron Corbin was going to be victorious just because this is kind of the way Baron Corbin plays his matches out, right? He kind of lets the little guy get a little offense, do a little here, and at the end, get the end of days and 1, 2, 3. But at the end of this, it was not Baron Corbin being victorious. It was Sami Zayn finding a way to get the Helluva kick in and get the clean victory. This is not shenanigans. It was a clean victory for Sami Zayn here. So, I mean, looking at that, Sean, I mean, I was a little bit surprised. I did not expect that.
I thought they might do something like this, but I went ahead and went with Corbin winning just because, you know, he's the guy getting pushed, whatever. But it's Money in the Bank time, guys. And who is supposed to be slated to win Money in the Bank? Mr. Baron Corbin. What happens when you're about to win Money in the Bank? You start losing. And they're also trying to build people up for Money in the Bank. So you got to have credible people. So that when you have that ladder match, it's not just one guy that looks like he could tear the house down, and then you got a bunch of dudes. So the more people that you build up and make that match more interesting, the better the match is, the more you're invested in, you know, who could win and all that kind of stuff. So you want to have people thinking, oh, well, actually, you know, even though they reported Baron Corbin, you know, it looks like this guy is also doing well and this guy, you know, so... having Sami Zayn get a win here makes sense. The match was pretty good. I liked it. One of the better Baron Corbin matches that there's been. Of course, you know, Sami Zayn being in there. You know it's going to be good. But, yeah, I thought both guys, you know, did their best. I thought Baron Corbin worked the back really well. And they told that story. And Sami Zayn, like you said, survived.
You know, whether this is because Baron's going to win the Money in the Bank or not, I think it's sort of secondary at this point. No matter how you look at this, Sami needed a win. And this is certainly a big one, at least for him, and they can keep this feud going on. And he gets a win on pay-per-view. And I mean, whether you think that matters anymore or not, it feels big. It feels like he's back on the winning way again, and he's, you know, kind of stopped the slide. So, I mean, for all I know, he could go back to losing again on SmackDown for the next 3 weeks all the way up until Money in the Bank. But for now, he looks good, and he feels credible again. And I think that was the goal here.
Yeah, that's got to be the goal because, honestly, Sami Zayn really usually ends up being the punching bag.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you're thinking to yourself, why do we still just get behind this guy all the time? He never really does anything besides look awesome in a match and then lose. Now, in this instance, he gets to look good in a match and win. And that's positive, and I think fans need to see that to continually, you know, have hope for him and get behind him. And Sami Zayn is a great character. People love to support him and get behind him. But, you know, you've got to win sometime. You can't just go off of, you know, reputation. So, but there you go. I mean, I think, once again, a surprising win and something that I think, you know, helps the fans, you know, start to, you know, really get behind Sami Zayn even more. We, and of course, in this have a little video, not a video package, but they actually show Jinder Mahal showing up to the arena. The Singh brothers actually put a rug out for him, and he steps out in his suit and has a little promo time here. Basically just doing the normal shtick for Jinder Mahal, kind of talking about that, you know, he'll be the WWE champion and all that, and you know, how, you know, bad Americans are, all that kind of stuff. So there you go. Interesting stuff out of that. And, of course, we did also have a Rocket League commercial that I know Sean just loved watching with, you know, so.
Please announce something at E3, whether it's WWE content and Rocket League. Please stop having video game sponsorships and not giving us WWE content in these games. It's stupid. You're just missing out on things that... Wouldn't you want to drive around a WWE, freaking Jinder Mahal car and bash the soccer balls in the net? I mean, how cool would that be? Like, and you have a WWE ring that you're driving around? I mean, come on, WWE, you're missing the boat here. You're missing it.
I'll only drive the Jinder car if it screams, "Don't hinder me," every time somebody hits him.
Now that's gold right there, Paul. I want that.
Or the Maharaja is coming or something.
Oh man, I love it. Oh, but anyway, yeah, and of course, you know, you did see Xavier Woods in the video package for Rocket League as well, and you know he's going to be playing that game. So, but yeah, let's move on and talk about the next match on this card, which of course has the Welcoming Committee facing off against Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and Naomi. And also, if you want to know who the Welcoming Committee is, just in case people are forgetting, Natalya. We also have Tamina. And, of course, don't forget, you know, the one and the only Carmella, right? Because that's the way, what's his name, James Ellsworth always promotes her before he promotes anyone else, of course. Why? But it's just kind of
he's
funny.
Her manager.
I know. So... it's just hilarious. I love it. He actually is getting good at actually bringing her to the ring. I think he's getting more comfortable. You guys notice that? I just think that Ellsworth at first was kind of a little nervous. I think he's getting so much more better at that. But anyway, let's talk about the match. And this was a match that, you know, I think we were kind of 50-50 on how this could end up. I mean, really, I mean, either way, it doesn't really change much. But get a pretty decent matchup. Everybody gets their spots in. Everybody gets involved. I mean, there's a lot here with not a whole lot, if I can say it that way. It's kind of weird. But just so much going on. But what we do have here, though, is surprisingly enough, the fact that the Welcoming Committee does get the victory here. And Tamina actually has a lot of offense in this, which, you know, is good. I think good for her because no one really knows much about her. Of course, you know, the injury being away and all that kind of stuff does not help her. So that's kind of helps her. Overall, though, Paul, how did you think about this?
I thought this was largely okay. It felt like it never got going. There's a lot of mistakes. It never came together into anything more than a platform to keep the feuds going. And now it's sort of bleh. I mean, Natty makes Becky tap, so... maybe she's going to be next in line for a title shot, but it's not a whole lot to dig into here, unfortunately.
No, there's not. It was a fine. The match was fine. There was nothing, you know, real highlights that we need to talk about. You know, Natty getting a win, that's good. And then, you know, I talked about the heel team needed a win because this is going to be going for a while because they've pretty much sewn up their entire women's division in this thing. So hopefully they have them branch off eventually back into the three women feuds, I guess, because I don't know how long you can really do a six-person feud. They tried this with the, you know, the multiple tag team thing, and that didn't really work out very much. I mean, the story here is fine. It's just, you know, it is what it is right now. I think, you know, for one, did Tamina just borrow clothes from Nia Jax? It seemed like they were wearing almost the same outfit. But, you know, other than that, I feel like, you know, this was a women's match. It was what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just kind of sad. You don't have a lot to say, and it was kind of a stretch for me to kind of promote this because it's just kind of there, you know? But, yeah. But, you know, hopefully they do have better stuff coming down the line. I think they could. It's just that right now this just it's just such a hot mess. Let's talk
about what'd you think of Becky's hair? I feel like we're
God. Well, I get being different. That's what I'll say.
Well, she was doing the Bull Nakano love there, so I guess that's cool.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about Bull Nakano, but it looked like somebody told her to hit the salon, and instead, you know, she's like, salon's like the gym, right? So she put on 3 pounds of hair.
Yeah. yeah. Not my favorite hairstyle, but hey, we'll go with it. But anyway, let's talk about another match that I hope you guys are more interested in talking about, and that is, of course, the United States Championship match, and that is one that is Kevin Owens defending against AJ Styles, and this one, guys, was quite a bit of fun. Of course, it's hard not to have a fun match with AJ Styles involved. Both these guys, you know, put the show on, put a really great effort in. But we do get left with, not, I don't know if we would say a sour taste in our mouth, but incomplete taste for sure, where AJ Styles was about to hit a move on the outside, actually on a table. But, yeah, he got stuck, his leg got caught, he falls down, and Kevin Owens wins by countout. And, you know, it sounds like a bad finish, but the match itself, for the most part before that, I think was pretty solid. How did you come about, and what were your thoughts on this, Sean?
I really, really enjoyed this match. This is a great match. This was the standout match of the show. They did a great job of telling the story that Kevin Owens has been working on his knee, and Kevin Owens goes after it, keeps working on it. AJ couldn't do the phenomenal forearm and missed, and you know, AJ had a problem with the knee the rest of the match, and that leads into the finish with AJ, his leg kind of gives out, and then he gets caught in the wires there. And I'm okay with it. It leaves that sour taste in your mind. I'm sure the people in Chicago probably hated it, and they voiced their displeasure. But you got to think about this is beyond one match here. They are doing at least two or three matches with these guys, and they didn't want one guy to lose immediately. So they did one of these finishes, which I think works for Kevin Owens. Who was basically just trying to outlast. I mean, he was standing toe-to-toe with AJ, but AJ was starting to get the upper hand, and I think, you know, it kind of works in no one's favor. He lucked out here, so, you know, and they can have AJ use this as further fuel to have another title shot, and I don't have a problem with that.
I don't have a problem with the match, and I don't have a problem with what's going to come out of it, but I think the finish could have been executed a little better, just to at least help Kevin get some more momentum going than what he had going into this. Like, maybe he just sort of cripples AJ to the point where he doesn't need to get tangled up in the cables, and he just happens to, you know, get counted out because he's in too much pain to get back in the ring, like they had been sort of building to, so I think I would have preferred that, but other than that, the match was great. I enjoyed a lot of the work. That suplex onto the apron where Kevin Owens bounces off the apron skirt spine first was just absolutely painful. So this match had a lot of good stuff going on. I just I wish the finish was a little better executed.
Yeah. I like the tease of the Styles Clash of the Floor, too.
Yes.
That was exciting. You're like, oh, no, is he really going to do that?
So go back to the old AJ days. Let's just do the Styles Clash from anywhere.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Oh, boy. I think they'd all be nervous about that one for sure. But, yeah, I mean, overall, like I said, a really solid match. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to what these guys give us in the future. So, Kevin Owens is still your U.S. champion, though. Still the face of the United States. Let's talk about the big match that's not really big because they're just two big guys, but they can give you one of those matches that you could say was very big. Let's Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. They're just, you know, large individuals we used to love until they get in the match, and then they used to be brothers, but now they're not brothers, and they're supposed to hate each other, but it doesn't feel like they hate each other. Luke Harper wins. That's all I have to say about it. I mean, Sean.
I get you saying big about like five times.
Because it makes me feel like they wanted you to think that this is a big deal. And then they like, oh, this is something that people have been waiting to see, and it's not because of the way they did it.
They tried. I mean, they were going out there beating each other up and being stiff with each other. I just think it's the dead part of the show, right? People are waiting for that main event, and then, you know, it's also they've already kind of seen the matches they wanted to see, so they know what's next, and you get this match, and it's just our two guys. I mean, they've done a little bit with Rowan, but Harper's kind of just been there, and, you know, I guess good for Harper to get the win. Don't know if this is going to mean anything, but I guess now that we're done talking about, well, I mean, it looks like AJ and Owens are also sewed up in their thing, but now that we're kind of done with the mid-card, before we get to the main event, maybe we should do some early predictions for who's going to be in that Money in the Bank, just for fun.
I guess it would sort of depend on whether they're going to do six or eight. I'll say six just to play conservative. So, yeah, you'll have Sammy, you'll have Baron, you'll have Ty, you'll have Luke.
Ziggler.
Ziggler and maybe AJ.
I feel like AJ is going to be challenged for that U.S. title again.
You know,
I think Rusev probably too, because he's been barking about a title match.
Yeah, I don't know what they wanted. They don't know what to do with Rusev, and I don't know if he's going to be there. Like I said, if it's going to be six, and I wager it would be just to because the roster is smaller. Yeah, it makes it a lot harder. But if they do eight, then certainly I could see Rusev in there.
I just wonder what you do with. I don't want to see Shinsuke in a ladder match, so.
I don't think they're going to do Shinsuke in a ladder match.
So, keep him away from the ladder. It's just like, who is he wrestling that's not going to be in that match unless they have him do two matches or something like that? Or, do they just have him squash somebody just to have him on the card or whatnot? But, I feel like Rusev's going to be in there just because they've been talking about him debuting, and then he's complaining about a title match. Well, this is the closest thing you'll get. If you win, you automatically get a title match whenever you want it. So that solves your problem. I feel like Harper and Rowan are going to have some kind of ultimate thing that's going to determine which one gets in, and then you'll put Harper in because he's the more athletic guy. You know, Baron and Sammy, of course. I feel like Dolph's going to wind up in there, probably. And I feel like that's your whole mid-card, really, without throwing just a guy from a tag team in there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's some interesting thoughts there, and I kind of feel like, you know, that's pretty much as far as you can go, like you're saying there, Sean. So we'll see. you know, Money in the Bank will be here before you know it as well. But yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that they do more with Luke and Eric Rowan here. I think that they have better stuff. It's just really, it's not here right at this point. Hopefully it does get better. Let's talk about the main event here. Let's talk about the WWE Championship, which Randy Orton defended against Jinder Mahal in this match. And really, honestly, it wasn't just against Jinder Mahal. It was against the Singh brothers as well. We knew that coming in. And that's really what this thing kind of came down to. And that's the Singh brothers trying to find their place to really help Jinder Mahal out as much as they could. Randy Orton took a lot of damage to the shoulder. That was a big part of this story, along with the fact that, you know, he consistently had to, you know, take out the Singh brothers and did it several times and almost killing one of them for sure. Throwing him over that announce table. Look, it was a pretty nasty bump he took. Plus, of course, you know, the fact that, you know, Randy Orton and his distractions comes back in the ring at the end here and does turn around to catch a Colossus, and Jinder Mahal got the 1-2-3 and is your new WWE champion, which I think was a little bit more of a shock than I think we all expected. Wow, I mean, I thought it could happen, but I really didn't see it coming.
I didn't think it was going to happen, so I was more on the shocked in, and now we live in a world where Jinder Mahal is WWE World Heavyweight Champion, and
wow, 2017.
Gonna take some getting used to. I think they did this as best as they could, though. As overbooked as it should have been, because I don't think anybody just wants to see Jinder wrestle Randy straight up. And Randy falls prey to the numbers game and in fact focuses too much on the numbers game. So much so that he forgets about the guy who he's in the ring with and he takes advantage. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do with this on SmackDown. I'm in favor of this, though. It's not like Randy's going to break a lot of new ground. And watching them try to do something with Jinder in this role is going to be infinitely interesting. And if it... I just hope they don't automatically turn the title back around on SmackDown. That would be the one thing I don't want to see.
I totally agree with you on that. They need to give Jinder at least until, what's the next, until Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank,
and,
yeah.
And if you want to switch it back then that's fine. But I feel like you got to give him a little bit of time here with the belt to establish something. I really like the move. It's something new. It really puts over the Singh brothers as, you know, somebody that's going to get in Randy's way. I'm sure that it may even turn into a, you know, 2-on-1 handicap match for Randy on SmackDown or something like that, which I don't mind. Just please don't kill one of the Singh brothers. Like, you know, that would be a good idea. You know, I'm sure that they have families they want to go back to. Don't break somebody's neck, Randy Orton. That would be a good idea. But, yeah, I mean, look, it's really cool now. You think about it with the champions they have, how multicultural they are with a lot of their champions now. You know, so if you take into account all the things that they have now, it's just that's really cool. So, and to be a WWE World Champion, Jinder Mahal, representing India, all that stuff, that's, you could take into it what you want as far as what it means, you know, politically and business wise and whatever. But look, you know, people were congratulating it, you know, the wrestlers were congratulating him all over Twitter and stuff, and the dudes worked hard. Yeah, he took some roids to help him out there, but you can't say he came from nothing literally to go win a WWE championship, so that's pretty cool.
He allegedly took some roids, so
okay. Yeah. He has back knee that they were trying extensively not to show.
I'm just saying that so your lawyer doesn't have to work so hard. But anyway, unless you need to call Saul, and that's in favor of
him. Yeah, I could do that.
1-800 fella. That's who we call.
Yeah. Hey, there you go. Oh, boy. I miss that so much. But anyway, yeah, so there you go. Jinder Mahal is your WWE champion. I think a lot of us, once again, are a little bit shocked. But I think, you know, it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be something that's needed when it comes to SmackDown because of the fact that a good heel champion sometimes can really boost what you want when it comes to getting those baby faces really going, and I think it could really help. So we'll see. Of course, you know, we got to put a rating on this thing, so let's go ahead and do that now. Paul, what's your rating for the show?
I think I'm going to go 6.5. There's a solid opener. The U.S. title match was good, and you have the surprise with Jinder at the end. Everything else ranges from fun to disjointed to boring to, well, here it is, and a good show that does not make. But I think this is a fair show.
I'll go with a 6. I think, you know, you had a great match with AJ and Owens. You had a pretty good match with, you know, it's Nakamura and Ziggler. Zayn and Corbin was enjoyable. You had some fun stuff with the tag teams. And then, you know, you had the big surprise of Jinder winning. So that will be memorable from this pay-per-view, even if it lasts only a month. Just please don't tell me that on Tuesday we're going to change the title back, because that's just dumb. Absolutely dumb. Kills his character. Does nothing for him. So aside from that, this show is what it was. It really felt like a, you know, one of those single branded pay-per-views. That's what it felt like. With that small roster that you have. Again, credit to WWE for going in a different direction. Everybody was talking about Jinder Mania. Now you can have Jinder Mania everywhere, because that's all you're going to see on the internet for the next, like, 2 days.
Yeah.
Is Jinder everything.
The Maharaja.
He did not get hindered on this show.
He did not.
So hey, it's exciting for you know, Randy Orton to see, you know, him having to be the guy that lost, you know, to lose to Jinder, but I mean, it's also kind of fun. So, but anyway, I'm glad to see
Randy Orton certainly did not take a dive on that one.
No. The indie circuit just went crazy with that. Anyway, let's talk about the fact that we, of course, have plenty of other reviews for everybody to go check out. If they want to go check out our NXT Chicago review, you need to go do that now. Best way to do that, of course, is W2NMet.com. Or if you're already subscribed, and maybe you're not, maybe go subscribe to the Wrestling to the Max stream on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasting through. Of course, if you love W2NMet and our family and podcasting, trust me, other great wrestling shows with our family of podcasts, go get the W2M Network. That'll give you everything under the sun when it comes to our umbrella. But we thank you all for joining us tonight. Of course, I am Gary Vaughn. He is Mr. Paul Leeser, and he is Mr. Sean Garmer. And we are going to bid you adieu for the night, but we hope you come and check us out this week when we do episodes 1 and 2 of episode 248. Of course, don't forget this week we'll be talking still Best of the Super Juniors. We'll also be jumping into some other great content. Of course, some big news topics that you're going to want to tune in for. So exactly everything that you're going to want when it comes to the world of wrestling. For now, we will see you guys down the road. Until next time, if you're not living life to the max.
Not living life at all.
You know it.
Please don't be racist, people. Just don't be.
In general. Bye.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.